Well, big thanks again for anybody who helped out with the game dinner in any way, praying or cooking or setting up tearing down. I think a bunch of ladies cooked for about 40 hours last week, and we do appreciate all that good food, and it was a good time together for sure, good speaker. So just a couple blessings on the heads of Jim and Darlene Worley, Vicki DeLuce, all the fellowship committee. To feed 280 hungry, ornery men is no small task. We were like the Campbell Soup commercial. You come in, you know, grumpy and tired, and then you eat the food and you walk away real thankful and smiling. So it was a great time. Also, some bathroom work has been completed just about, and guys putting a lot of hours into that. Ken Simmons, Dana Rogers, if you use the bathroom today, they made it possible. So thank the Lord for them. And it's good to be thankful for the basics. Amen. And we have you guys helping out with different things, with flags. Thank you, guys, who did that. Dave Buzzy, Dan Hoffman, and many other people serving. So listed in the annual report, I guess. Can't cover them all. As going through the Ten Commandments, right in the middle, honor your father and mother, God says. And it's been said, whatever the family goes through, the church goes through. Think about how that looks. And then whatever the church goes through, the nation goes through. And God sees our family and knows that we are flawed and broken and in need of His intervention. And that's one of the reasons why He gave us those commandments, to help us out. They can't point us to Christ and say, we need a Savior, just by looking at that one commandment, honor your father and mother. It does serve as a hammer to smash our self-sufficiency or self-righteousness, so we could say, we really need God's help to do things differently, and God will be gracious and do that for us. And the word honor means to hold in highest and utmost respect. And we sang about honor and glory to God at the first song. And we want to give honor also to parents and family life. And I think this commandment is the kickoff commandment to love people as yourself or love your neighbor as yourself. It is as difficult and pleasant to keep as any other commandment. So God will meet us where we're at. And one of the saddest verses in the Bible that does have to do with family life is in Genesis chapter 3, where God says this: the Lord God banished Adam, and that would be Adam and Eve, from the Garden of Eden. Okay, and that hits our family life. The Lord God banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. So any thought you might have had in your lifetime, and it was a desire that we want to be close to God and others, that our family life would be perfect, that it would be paradise, a mom and dad would be perfect, the kids would be perfect, or any other quest for perfection, by the way, that you might be seeking, perfect church, perfect nation, perfect job performance that you did, as you seek that, you're trying to sneak back into Eden. And God's not going to send you there till Jesus comes back to put everything right, our hearts and everything right with Himself. So don't try to sneak back into Eden in family life. Let God help your family that is out of paradise and not perfect. And Christ wants to intervene there where we're at. So in all the relationships that you have, the best way to honor mom and dad or to honor God, the first step to take, to surrender your life to God so that as you learn to honor Him, then you can honor the key people in your life that God has given you. So we'll never get close to following this commandment or any other commandment without saying, I surrender my life to Christ. He's the author of the commandment, the keeper, the one who could fulfill it through us. And God will help in a great way. And just the Bob mentioned the touching of the heart. This commandment probably touches hearts as much as any other. It certainly hits us where we live. And one favorite verse to look ahead for hope for each of our families in Colossians, it says, God reconciles all things in heaven and earth unto himself. So with his help and with his grace, both in this life and the next, we could see God coming and putting parts back together in family life. And God can do that. He's committed to that. So you hold on hope to him for the flawed experience you may have gone through. And so if you think of your family, for example, as a little church, it may help. Want to get Christ at the center of everything that you do. So Paul wrote to the Philippian church, for example, and they didn't meet in a great big building and, you know, have a lot of people there. They met in homes, and it was a church in the home type thing. And that's what your family is. It's church. If you know Christ, it's church in the home. And what is that little church look like at home? That'll be brought here on Sunday morning. That's what we all experience together. And so Paul said to the Philippians, he said, you want to have an attitude among yourselves at home like reflects Christ, your Savior. You can be Lord of the home. So one thing he said was this, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. That's a great parallel verse to honor your father and mother. Consider them better than yourselves. And say, wow, I'm thankful for some of the things they poured into my life. Wasn't perfect. Many things I caught from them that aren't healthy. But they did give some basics. They got you here today in some manner. I think of my own parents who are still living. Thank God for them. They are a joy. And if I could look at my parents and if I would say, I wonder, you know, what honor could I give them? Do they know as much Bible as I do? No, I beat them in Bible Jeopardy every time. You know, I could say, hey, you're way behind. Come on, Mom and Dad, pick up the pace over there. Do they attend as many church services as me? I'm light years ahead of them. I don't know if it's a blessing or not sometimes. But I know some things they do that God has put into their life that they follow Jesus much better than I do. They are more patient than I am. They are more experienced than I am. They are more unselfish than I am. And they are closer to Jesus in many ways than I am. So I honor who God made them to be, not just for what they can do, but for who they are. And God calls us to do that as people, to hold our parents in highest regard. Sometimes it'll be, for a lot of you, honoring the memory of Mom and Dad. Good, bad, and indifferent. To say, God, in your providence, you gave me that one to ultimately teach me about you and about love. And to love your parents as they are, not as you wish them to be. Because when they were at their best, they loved you as you were, not as they wished you to be. That's a huge struggle that we have. If in addition to honoring Mom and Dad, their memory, if you're of that age, we're called to honor spiritual moms and dads for each of us. That means there's people in our lives who serve as Christian influencers to us. And we need that. All of us in here need a spiritual mom and dad, and numerous ones of them. We get that by hanging around other Christians. We need that because you and I are not the most mature people in the body of Christ. That's a wake-up call. We're not the wisest. We're not the ones who know everything we need to know. We need other people giving us input. Have some humility and receive from your spiritual moms and dads all around you, and folks you know from outside, that will build you up in the faith. Honor them in that way. And that'll be a blessing. And this morning I try to address the children and teens, but also us older folks who still can honor our moms and dads. For children and teenagers, here you go. How can you honor Mom and Dad? First of all, love them where they're at, not as what you wish they would be. God gave them to you. And honor them by your speech. Don't trash talk Mom and Dad on the computer, on the bus, to your friends, or to your brothers and sisters. You know, honor them by speaking well of them. You won't always understand why they do what they do, but honor them. You may think you know more than them, and sometimes you may actually know more than them. Sometimes young people know a lot more than me about certain things, computers and life and all kind of things. But it doesn't matter. They are still to be honored. You know, Jesus, when he was 12, he went to the temple and he wowed everybody by what he knew from Scripture. And you know, he was virtually a man at that point. And the Bible says, even though he knew more than his mom and dad, right? Jesus, God's son, even though he knew more than his mom and dad, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, he went home to Nazareth and he obeyed his parents. He obeyed his parents. That's what Jesus did. And young people, as you want to follow Christ in some kind of practical manner, say, I'll obey mom and dad with God's help. That's a great way to honor them. And sometimes children and teenagers, you know, it's no secret. Don't you hate sometimes the way your parents treat you? See, I hate the way they treat me. I remember some things my parents would do I didn't understand. I thought they were from far country somewhere. But here's some news for you. If you find yourself in that boat, very often your parents hate the way they treat you also. Did you know your parents hate the way they treat you? Because very often the way they treat you is how they were treated by their mom and dad. That's what they learned for 18 years. And they don't know any other way. They're hopefully praying to God for help to be different than the way they were raised that was disabling and hurtful. So pray for your parents in their growing as people and as believers. C.S. Lewis said, boy, one great way to honor family or to honor mom and dad is to put God first at all times. And as you put God first, he said, the more I loved God, the more I loved my family. Ended up marrying late in life and just connecting with a gal named Joy and all her family. The more I love God, the better I love my family. When we put God first, that doesn't decrease our family life. That increases our family life. Secondary things are strengthened when we put Christ first. So that's the call on our lives. And getting back to what Paul said to the Philippians, this is for mums and dads, to set the spiritual tone of the house. Boy, how we need help with that. I think of our own family life. I often threaten my family by, I should turn the camera on me. I said, I'm going to bring in the ABC hidden camera to our home for a day. Well, let's just turn the camera on me. You know, and the videotape was let out and we showed it in church. You would say, that guy needs help. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for the pastor more than ever. Look at the sin. Look at the chaos. Look at the brokenness. But hopefully you would also say, oh, God's in there helping. God's in there helping. And God, Christ is available to help you. But parents, you set the spiritual tone for the household. How did Paul say a little house was supposed to look like? He said this, well, be like-minded, have the same purpose and spirit, have compassion, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, consider others better than yourselves. Does that sound like your house? How are you going to pull that off without Christ? No way. Won't even be close. Won't even be close. But if you ask Christ and say, Lord, you be head of my heart and head of our house, and then we begin to be a family that grows in strength, and in spite of the brokenness, we see God's help. So, and mom and dad, the best gift you can give to your family is for you to follow Jesus. That's the best gift. I speak for myself. I'd get three amens if they say, well, dad is at his best when he's following Christ. And you're the example. Your sermon at home means more than any other activity you'll do in the church. And to put in a plug for you as an example, you know, getting real practical, you don't bring your children in, you know, drop them off for Sunday school, pick them up and say, you know, did that teacher teach you anything about God? They'll say, no, Mom and Dad, but you know, did you? You drop them off and you hit the road. Or you bring them to a youth group or Club NAC on Wednesday night. Here you go, kids. Get close to the Lord, you know. See you in an hour and a half. They're going to say, none of this makes sense at all. So you, Mom and Dad, you set the spiritual tone for the house. And the best gift you can give to your family, you follow Christ where you're at, and God will bless. And here's some things us adults can do. Honor our parents with our time, with our heart, with a sense of thankfulness. Years ago, there was a Proverbs chapter 1 talks about listening to the instruction of our family, even when they're older. I still appreciate the wisdom of my folks. They still know more than me about a whole lot of things. And years ago, there was a commercial by AT&T where parents in their 70s are in the kitchen, the phone rings, and the guy goes, it's the kids. You know, it's a phone call from some other adults in the house. And just a way to reach out, how are you doing, just checking in on you. And this is a good thing that happened to me today, or whatever you want to share. How's everything going? To honor Mom and Dad like that. That's a blessing. It's God's will for our lives. And to honor parents by seeking their counsel and prayers. Who's going to pray for you more than your family? They will. They'll uphold you. Proverbs 23 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't forsake your mother when she is old. Don't forsake your mother when she is old. And your dad, he gave you life. So you say, I still honor with God's help. There's a true story about a young person in his early 20s. He wanted to see the world. I know a lot of guys have done this. Some of you have done this. They said, I'm just taking off, going out west. Don't know where I'm going. Don't know when I'm coming back. He wanted to do this. So he loaded his all his worldly stuff, you know, in about one suitcase or one big sack, took it down to the shoreline, was going to get on a boat to take him wherever. He wanted to see the world. His mom prayed and said, please don't do this. I don't think this is going to be good for you. God, you know, that's not what God wants you to do at this point in your life. I got to do it. Got to follow my wild at heart thing here. So he goes down to the shoreline, puts the big sack in the boat. His mom follows him all the way to the shore. Tears in her eyes. You know, please don't do this. Turn around, please. He stops, turns around and sees her. He just can't bring himself to do it. Take the thing out of the boat. And he goes back and gives her a hug. And she said, son, God will honor those who honor their parents. And the man's name, some of you may have heard the story, the man's name who turned around went back, George Washington. God had a plan for his life. And there was a parent praying that God would do something significant for him. And to honor parents by listening to their advice. And the third thing we could do, which is very painful, to honor parents, and children have to do it, and we adults have to do it, is sometimes honoring parents means expressing tears and forgiveness for the brokenness that happened in the past. And we have all been there. We are all practicing this, I think. There's a true story about one Christian man. His dad took off when he was 2 years old. Dad's there, then he's not there. He's gone. He's left to grow up, you know, no dad around, nobody to catch ball with, nobody to encourage him, nobody to do a little bit of homework with. This is mom and him, and he's on his own. He's grown up. He starts to blame himself for his parents not being together. He feels insecure as a teenager. When he's older, he's thinking, I got to reconnect with my dad. His dad had a drinking problem in his life, the source of many of his waywardness. But he tracks his dad down, who lives in a very small apartment by himself. His life is in shambles. And he goes to him and he says, Dad, I wanted to see you. I want to let you know, Dad, that it was bad and it was wrong for you to be gone, but I forgive you. And it took a lot of praying, a lot of years for him to be able to do that. That was wrong. And I forgive you. And Dad, I want you to know, and only God could help him do this, of course, I love you and I honor you as my dad. As my dad. And the man was able to walk away with a measure of peace in his heart. Not as if nothing ever happened that was wrong, you know. But with a sense of, okay, God's going to take care of that. God's going to somehow rebuild in me things I need of healing and help that can really make a difference in my life and somebody else's life. I can be more compassionate to others whose families are all spread all over the place, which often happens. But the Lord can reconcile things in heaven and on earth to himself. And children, if you're an adult child or you're a teenager or a child, the best way for you to honor your parents, you think about your future. You can get a great job and accomplish a lot of things. But if you don't receive Christ, you end up in hell. That's the worst way to end up your life, that your parents, who they wanted you to meet God and follow him. The best way to honor your parents is to turn to Christ. So you might say, I honor God, and therefore I honor the parents he gave me. And God can bring a lot of healing. In my own life, both the family, the four of us who were all grown together, we always practice that forgiveness and ask God to keep us close to him, close to one another. And his grace and mercy are stronger than our ability to be all over the place. And in my own mom and dad, I know they've loved me much more than I've loved them. But there's been times in our lives where we were like this. If you were my parents, I'd be. And but God has brought peace and thankfulness and togetherness through his grace. And I know he can do that for any heart here today. A sign of God working in people's lives from Malachi, and a sign that he would return, would be some definite way from the intervention of God, children would turn to parents, and parents would turn to children. Isn't that great when that happens? You know, even if it's in a memory. And you don't have to be like that fellow who grew up without a dad who went to talk to his dad. You could settle that in your heart with Christ. Somehow say, with God's help, here comes the Lord. He could turn my heart back and say, whatever the hurt the past was, thank you, God, you were there too. And parents, all of a sudden, you start to love your children unconditionally. You don't exasperate them and demand that they live in the, you know, some symbolic Garden of Eden that you're building for them. That drives them crazy. They want to get out of your way. They want to get away from you when you try to create a Garden of Eden without Jesus coming back. But the Lord can bring healing and help. And when Christ is known in the heart to follow him, you're able to say, thank you, Lord, for that commandment. Thank you that through Christ alone, I honor my father and my mother. And God brings help to every flawed situation. Let's pray and commit family life to him. It's a bigger picture than our own hearts, but it starts in our own hearts. So let's pray together as we prepare for communion. Thank you, Lord. You invented family life. There's mom and dad, and there's children are there. That we cannot function well without your help. Even with your help, we're still going to fumble and produce things that only you could bring healing to. I pray that we'd turn first our own hearts over to you, surrender, realizing we can't have healthy relationships without putting you first. And how great you are at this, Lord. Just everybody coming to church today is really an evidence God's working in their life. We don't think they came here just to get out of the cold or to kill a few hours on Sunday morning. Hopefully to come and say, Christ is Lord. And we give thanks to Him. Might you work in hearts, some to be at peace with God through faith in you, maybe for the first time. Produce that new life. And then begin to invade family life. Jesus says, you know how. We're happy when you do. And someday, Lord, in heaven, you make us, and also on earth, you connect us with one another as a Christian family. And we need this too, to honor one another above ourselves. So please bring health to this area of our lives so that as the family goes, so the church goes. Forgiveness and mercy and hope. And then so the nation goes. What a difference you can bring. We yield these things to you. In Christ's name, amen. Please participate in the Lord's table because you have received Christ as your Savior. He invites you. And if you don't know a peace with God, say to the Lord, I trust you, Lord, and I remember you died on my behalf. And the children are coming from their time, some able to participate in the Lord's table. Listen to what Jesus said as he broke bread and gave the cup to his disciples. Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body given for you. Do this remembering me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you. We thank the Lord for his life and death, rising from the dead to save us. And embrace him in your heart as you remember him.